can't handle it any longer. It's like it's just going on and on and on. No change, no change, no change. Remember, I told you before that there's several things that come to test the child of God. There's tests. Those are quick. Then there are tribulations. Those are intense, painful moments. So painful, it's almost traumatic. Like when certain birthdays come around, certain anniversaries come around, when certain monumental events come around, the date that you signed the papers, the date that you broke up with someone, the date that somebody came into your life, the date that a child was born, a child died. Many people go through different types of traumas, and then sometimes when you have triggers, you're reminded of what you went through, and then you want to make an escape. But what happens if you're going through a trial to where you're going through several months of trauma, like this pandemic? To where you can't go back to normal. How to deal with hard things in life. Adam and Eve actually tried to do this. They tried to escape from their guilt and shame. They took an apron of leaves and put it across themselves. And God was asking, Adam, where are you? He didn't say, Eve, where are you? He said, Adam. Where are you? Who told you that you were naked? They tried to escape. Noah escaped from the trauma of seeing God's judgment through drunkenness. Imagine that you and your family members are there after being told by God that he's going to kill all of these sinful people who deserve it. Don't get that twisted. I'm going to get rid of all these folk that deserve it, including all of the detestable things that the sons of God did with the children of men. I'm going to get rid of all this stuff. And imagine you being a human and you are and have been preaching to all these people for 120 years that the rain is going to come. And the faces that you have been trying to save now perish before your very eyes. You would think that he would be okay with it because he survived. But if you have any type of compassion inside of your heart, you don't want to see people that you've been preaching and teaching and trying to help for years and years die before your eyes. That did something to him. So he drunk himself into a drunken stupor. And then there was other stuff that happened with that, certain family problems that happened with that began to, you know, create a lot of problems that even become between different cultures today. He tried to escape because he went through a traumatic event. All them people died. And God actually told you that you were there to actually try to help them, but they didn't want the help. How about Elijah? Elijah tried to escape from his mission by hiding in a cave. He was up under a terebinth tree, a juniper tree, after he heard from Jezebel and the nation that we're going to kill you, I'm going to behead you. Because you slew my 250 prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel, and I'm going to send the hounds after you. I'm going to send all the hounds after you. We're going to get you. We're going to kill you, Elijah. He became depressed. The man who rained fire down from heaven was afraid of one controlling woman. Welcome to Divine Truth Christian Center, where we love God and love people. One woman, one controlling woman, turned this apple cart upside down. He was exhausted. He was on the Damascus Road. He ended up under a juniper tree. And God said, you need to rest. You need to go to sleep. Here's some water and some angel food cake, some bread and water. That's what was given to Elijah right up under that specific tree. You need to rest. You need to eat. You need to be nourished with some water, hydrate yourself, and you need to go to sleep. My mama told me this a long time ago. She said, never make decisions when you're hungry, tired, or upset. Don't do it. You're not your tip-top shape. How about another one? How about David? David escaped from Saul's javelin by running and hiding and writing. All those beautiful psalms. Most of David's people, the musicians around, he was surrounded by people who love to write and compose music. So the way that he would escape is that he would escape by writing out his feelings about specific things, about his trials and tests. about how Saul was trying to afflict him, even the javelin itself. He would run away, him and his men. He was what I would call a person that exhibited an avoidance type of personality. Didn't really want to confront things. He just was like, okay, well, let me push away from the table. Moses struck a rock. The way that he escaped is that he was like, I'm so tired of dealing with these church folk. God, kill them and kill me too. He got so upset until he struck a rock. Struck a rock. And then God was like, you can't even go into the promise. You can't hit the thing that's supposed to help you. The rock is emblematic of the foundation of Jesus Christ. You can't hit who's trying to help you. But he had anger management issues, and it just came out. So sometimes when there's an escape, it's like we're trying to get away, but from what? Yourself. All right, you better preach, Ryan. You're trying to escape from yourself. And what happens when you can't escape from yourself? You try to do what you can to escape from yourself. So Moses struck a rock, but he was now faced on Mount Nebo. He couldn't go into the promise that he led his people to because he escaped the wrong way. Jonah went on a cruise, a three-hour tour. Half of y'all are like, what in the world is a three-hour tour? Gilligan's Island. See, when I was growing up, when you couldn't go outside, there was three things that you saw on TV. Gilligan's Island, Bonanza, and Little House on the Prairie. You knew that you were not going anywhere for the rest of the day when those three shows came on. So Jonah went on a cruise. He got on a boat. God told him to go to Nineveh. He said, I don't want to do that. I want to escape from my responsibilities. I don't want to preach them hard-headed folk. They ain't going to listen no way. And then the boat that he got on started to sink because of his disobedience. Even the people who were heathens and pagans that were actually on the boat was like, man, what kind of curse did you bring to us? And he was like, just throw me overboard. I still don't want to go to Nineveh. And then so that's crazy. When you get confronted, you like, just throw me overboard. I'd rather you throw me overboard so I can die versus me preaching to those people. That's some type of assignment. That's pretty significant. So he said what he said. But seaweed started getting wrapped around his head. He was swallowed up by a fish. And then through him symbolically going through hell, just like when Jesus alluded to the whole scripture about Jonah, about how he was in the belly of a fish for 3 days and then he came up again, he went through a transformation by going through hell. And it was self-inflicted. All he had to do was obey. But he was trying to make the great escape. This is like a person who has been anointed to do a task and you don't do what you need to do, but God makes you anyway. And then finally, Samson. Samson did one of the first murder suicides. You remember that? The scriptures and people try to so eloquently put things together, but remember, the Bible is actually a picture, it gives you description. It also gives you history. It gives you spirituality, and then allegory. But truthfully, in Samson's situation, he was actually in an entanglement. It was him and Delilah. That was an entanglement. An entanglement. He was gotten into a relationship that he thought was good on the surface, and his flesh was indulged, but deep down it was a destructive element. He was blinded by the relationship. If you read the story, it said they blinded Samson. But then when he got his anointing and his strength back, God was like, well, I'm going to give you strength one more time. And then he pulled the pillars apart and he died along with his enemies. Judas, as my final example, he was entangled too, but not with a significant other. He was entangled with money. And so his way of escape was just 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver in order to betray the God man himself, Jesus Christ. That 30 pieces of silver don't look so good now, does it? To be known all through time as a man of infamy, who hung himself over the field of blood, Akeldama is what it was called. And when he dropped from being on that specific rope for that particular long, he dropped from the actual rope, fell across the rocks, and his insides were bursted open. And this is all prophesied. He made a wave, or tried to make a way of escape, but it was done through suicide. Those are the wrong ways to escape. But how about the right way to escape? Is there such a thing? Well, vacations, those are called respites. It's like Jesus taking you beside the still waters. He restores your soul. There you, though you may walk through the valley of shadow of death, you don't have to fear any evil. His rod and his staff is with you. And mercy and goodness shall follow you all the days of your life, and then you will dwell within the house of the Lord forever. So the right way to escape is through Jesus Christ. Hope in Christ. What is this hope thing, Pastor Martin? I'd like to hear it. Here it goes. Hope is found in the promises God has given us. Promises of freedom from sin. We can find so much hope in Scripture through the gift of eternal life made possible through his Son, Jesus Christ. So that no matter what trials, temptations, or pain we may suffer, we can always hold on to the hope God extends to us. So important. So let me give you some word. I gave you a monologue. I gave you some descriptions, some illustrations. But let me give you the word, because I always wanted to give you the word before we go out of here. So let me give you five scriptures. The first scripture is going to come from out of 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 and 14, out of the English Standard Version, ESV. In its abbreviation, verse 13 says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. See, you may be in a situation right now, a legal situation, familial type of situation, job situation, relationship, whatever it may be. You may be in a situation, you may be in an entanglement. But that does not mean that God cannot get you out of it. And sometimes he might get you out of it when you got yourself into it. Faster than normal, he'll help you. So we have to have confidence in him. Not in ourselves, in him. Things ain't going right in your life, you tired. I'm so tired and weary. It's been a long pandemic. I want to visit folk. I want to go outside. I want to go to the club. I don't want to wear this mask no more. I don't want to deal with these people. I want to go back to school. I want to go back to the mall. I'm tired of these stickers on the ground that says 6 feet apart, everybody's ignoring. I'm tired of everybody looking at me when I cough and I got allergies. Everything ain't COVID. It's not. First one. How about another verse? Second verse. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 6. And it goes as follows. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, untouchable, undefiled, unfading. Can't touch this. Impenetrable. Indestructible. Kept in heaven for you. This is a will. Did you get it? There's God's will for you, and then we have us, or he has us in his will. There's two types. His will is us doing what he says while we're on planet Earth. But his will for us in heavenly places represents an inheritance. That once you leave from this place, you're not going to be worm food. You ever wonder why something could be so powerful like life, People ask these questions all day. What is the meaning of life? What is the meaning of life? Why am I here? Why are there humans? Where all these living creatures come from? Living things don't come from dead stuff, so people don't just explode into a perfect human body with several thousands of miles of veins, 360 some odd bones, a brain that has no mechanical parts. You can see, you can touch, you can taste, you can smell. You can get sick and then you can recover. That didn't come from an inanimate object. That came from the Creator, God Himself. So He gave you a will. He gave you an inheritance. Verse 5 says, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, church folk. Though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. Oh, look at that. If it ain't one thing, it's another. But I like how Anthony Brown says in this song that the praise team sings often. Every time I turn around, it's blessings, blessings. Every time I turn around, there will be blessings upon blessings. All right. The favor of the Lord is upon us because we are His children. That is the truth of the matter. That gives me hope that if I've been given a raw deck of cards, in other words, I've been born with certain afflictions. I've been born into a ratchet family. I've been born into a toxic situation and an abusive spouse or whoever it may be. If I didn't ask for these things, but if these things meet me at my door, I didn't have the strongest of bodies or immune systems. This seems like I was given a raw deck of cards right out the gate. Man. If I feel like this life is all that there is, then that could be very depressing. I would like to escape. Remember, as I said before, in Japanese culture, most of them do not believe in an afterlife. Primarily, they are dignified atheists, spiritual atheists. That's what Buddhism actually is, to enlighten yourself. And so if you don't do a good job, you're going to come back like the Avatar? That's what enlightenment is, and that's what the faith is surrounded by. But it's all still dependent on the person. So what happens if you don't do good, like now? Everybody in here is not doing good because there's no one that is good except for God. So if everybody is not doing good, then if I go through a bad streak or go through bad times in life, then I'm going to be like, man, I didn't get it right. My job, my children, deaths in family, not doing such a good job. So you know what? Let me just start over. If there is an over at all. That seems kind of hopeless, isn't it? To know that where you are right now ain't going to get no better. Could you imagine that? How hopeless that feels? I can imagine how Paul felt when he was in chains, how hopeless he felt to not even be able to preach the gospel. After having such a transformational part of his life, he couldn't go anywhere. He said, I'm bound within chains. But then he looked deeper into the gospel and he said, you know what? My circumstances that are surrounding me seem like they are never changing at all, but my heart is changing. I'm on lockdown, but I'm being freed. You get that? I'm on lockdown, but I'm being freed. Some of us don't like being by ourselves because we ugly. God don't like ugly, right? We say that about other people, but it's actually supposed to be about God don't like ugly. Some of us like to be around and have several distractions in order to get away from ourselves. Lord, deliver me from me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, including the ones that you form yourself. Sometimes our biggest problems is various trials, it's grieving. I can't escape from my brain. Let me get a great distraction. I love the vacations, like I said, no problem with them. I believe in them, and I will go on them in order to deal with stuff, to let myself decommission. But I also realize, too, that I can't use that all the time. I have to do something internal to help me go through tests and trials. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 10, and I'm coming around the mountain here. And it says in verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that anyone could boast." Let me break that down to you, because if you don't read the Bible, then that's going to sound foreign at that quick moment. What that means is when God saves you, it's not because of your intellect, your familial pedigree, or the family that you come from, how much money that you have in your pocket, your status, how many times you attend to church, if your daddy is a preacher or not. It used to just befuddle me how some people thought that they could be preachers just because they were related to one. I come from a line of preachers. You came from a line of liars, possibly. This is not to say that the anointing doesn't pass down, but it's not always. Most of the time, it's going to be an Elijah and Elisha type of situation, to where there would be a spiritual son or spiritual daughter versus a flesh and blood one that gets the mantle. I love my children, but if God did not call them to be preachers, then the ministry will not go to them. They will go to a spiritual son or a daughter that has the mantle. Not every preacher could say that. Preacher be like, "Man, I got to keep that money in that family." No, no, no. Not if you want to do it God's way. Not if you want to do it God's way. So we can't work out and get on God's good side. God found it gracious enough to give us his only begotten son. And we didn't do anything to deserve it. Matter of fact, before any of us were saved, we were in the classification as an enemy of God. God loves everybody. He does love everybody. He loves you enough to send his only begotten son so that those of us that are lost will be able to hear, partake of the gospel so that we may be found. We don't find ourselves if we're lost. We like to stay lost. We like to stay deep in sin, far from a peaceful shore. But then love lifted us from out of the muck and miry clay. We didn't love God. He first loved us. That's what that part of scripture actually means. And nobody could brag about it. I can't brag. That's why I said no man can boast. I can't brag and say, you know what? When I get to heaven, I go to the pearly gates. I can't be like, you know what? God, remember that time when you sent that scripture to me? I knew what it was all about. And I made the decision to give my life over to you. I made the decision that this was the religion that I was going to choose. But if you can choose a religion, that means it's man-made. But what happens if the faith chooses you? You can't choose anything else because it's from God. Man-made religions can be chosen, but God-ordained ones is when the Savior comes and talks to you when you're not even looking for him. That's a distinct difference. That's what makes it different from any of the other religions that are out there. Look at all of them. You have to do something in order to appease the deity. But with Jesus Christ, you can't appease God. God says, you know what? Let me save you with your undeserving self, your unworthy self. So you can't brag and say, well, you know, I chose to be with God. No, by default, no one likes to be with God. No one wants him. You know the reason why your unsaved relative don't want to come to church? It's because they're not saved. They don't want to be around a place where their sins are illuminated, the things that they love. Imagine that. I love some of the sins that y'all talk about in church, so I don't want to be there because I don't want you talking about me. So why would I want to be in an environment where you're talking about the very thing that I like on a regular basis? So nobody can boast. Verse 6 says, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while," excuse me, for we are all his workmanship. Verse 10, I'm sorry. "Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." So God is working on us. so that we don't try to escape from this world some arbitrary way, but he has made a way of escape into Jesus Christ. Verse 4, next verse, then I'm almost done. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. This is the fourth one. This should encourage you. You know the reason why you should have hope? The reason why you shouldn't let this pandemic or any type of endemic thing bog you down? It's all in verse 16 through 18, as well as the others. Verse 16 says, so we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, getting older. I look at my hands, I see more wrinkles this year than last year. I see more lines under my eyes, or they like to call them crow's feet when you have those little lines going out in the corners of your eyes. You start contemplating nipping and tucking and Botox. I saw Botox for $7.95 in the plaza the other day. Lady Martin tell you, I was like, you want to get one shot? She was like, no. I was like, I might want to get one shot. I'll be able to look just like this. And I was like, $7.95? That's a us shot. It's not, I thought it was one shot for everything. But it's multiple. At 5, 7, 12. Can't even move your face. You just like this. You smiling? Yes. So I notice these things, and I see my parents getting older, and one of the things that I realize is that as you get older, people start getting less and less. When you see older people that are content, that's a magnificent thing, because they have seen throughout the expanse of their life the raising of children and even the death of some of them before they leave this world. They've seen many of their friends they go through high school with and have been raised up with, and they no longer are around them. And it's almost like they're standing alone. It's just like, it's almost like it's just them and God. Like it was from the very beginning, just them and God. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction of the pandemic is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory. The pandemic is just one of many things that will come as long as you're on this planet. So it's preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, they are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. So if you want something to be permanent, it has to be done in the spirit, not in the flesh. So we don't need to lose heart. Your circumstance may look very, very, very ugly right now. What's on the inside of you that you're struggling with right now may be very, very ugly at this moment in time. But that does not mean that it can't be transformed. A larvae is an ugly thing until it goes into a cocoon. It's locked down for a period of time. And sometimes the pressure is necessary so that a blood of fly will emerge. And then finally, come on, Al, I'm done. John chapter 4, verse 13 through 14 says, Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. What kind of water? The water represents the cares of this world, the little deterrents that we have. Lady Martin and I were teasing with the fact that, hey, we can extend our stay 2 more days. I was like, I would like to vacation for the rest of the year. I had one guy that was working for like 40 years. He never took any vacation. And then he came to the point where he says, you know what? I don't want to die early. So he takes off the last 3 months of the year every single year. 3 months. Wouldn't that be a blessing? What you going to do? I can't wait to go back to work. Some people are like, no, I'm going to test that out. But those are temporary things. There's a reason why I got tired of going to the clubs. I got tired of talking to different ladies at that moment in time. I wanted a wife. I didn't want any more girlfriends. I got tired of, you know, just having a piece of a job. I wanted a real one. I got tired of being broke. I wanted to do certain things so that I could really be content. But I still found out that those things are temporary, because you can be broken up from a relationship. People can move on and not like you. You can go into the friend zone. It's somebody that I used to know. That's what you turn into now. Somebody that I used to know. Somebody. These things happen. It's natural. People get fired from jobs. People get let go. You've been there for all those years and somebody is now taking your place and you feel betrayed. It happens. So what is your hope in? Things that man can take away? Or even things that you can mess over? No, your hope is in God. So everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. Just talk about the woman at the well. But whoever drinks the water that I will give him or her will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. This is an everlasting spring. So the essence that we look to in the Bible, in the scripture, to build our hope is this. What has Christ done for me in my sinful condition that enables me to know that I will not come into judgment or condemnation, and all the things are working together for my good? And the answer is that Christ died for me, rose again for me, and therefore, all the promises of God are yes and amen in him. So let's look away from the circumstances that confront us. Let's look to Christ. He is the great way of escape. Let's look to the promises and hold fast to them. Hope comes from the promises of God rooted in the work of Christ. So that is the great escape. It is Jesus. Because, as I was saying to myself today, oh, Monday is coming. Monday cometh. Back to reality. Reality never stops, does it? It never stops. And sometimes it can be, on the surface, depressing if you have no other hope. Oh, goodness gracious, I just came. Was born on this planet. I eat food. Have a family. Or not. Work and die. And I might get sick. That's such a cynical, pessimistic way of looking at things, but it is the reality for many. But there is more to life than just that. And the pandemic has taught, one of the many lessons of the pandemic is that you can have as much freedom in Christ as you need, even though you may not be able to go anywhere. Many of us are discovering that chains and being imprisoned by the circumstances around us does not limit us. It is the freedom on Christ on the inside that will let you fly away like some brutish beast, to escape away in him through praise, worship, and prayer. When you don't have any other ways to turn or no one else to turn to, your hope and your answers are in Jesus, whether it be yes or no. There's a guarantee. That's the guarantee. So let us pray. Lord God, we thank you. We bless you. We honor you. We thank you for making a way out of no way, for lifting us up when things are rapidly changing around us. I continue to speak blessings and healing according to your will upon those that are in this nation, in this land, in this region, Lord God. I pray that there be a safe distribution of the vaccines for those that choose to take them, and for those that will take them, that there be minimal side effects, Lord God. And for those that do not, I pray that you insulate them, help them to recover rapidly. And Lord God, if there be other things that are outside of those two, because it's not everything, touch them now. Heal them now. Give them peace that surpasses all human understanding. Abide with us, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm out of time, but not out of message. For our core and our clergy, we have a meeting at 1 o'clock with the great Dr. Jonathan Smith to talk about crisis management. We'll try to set it up so that we can broadcast inside of the stream. It gives us a little bit of time for you to eat, get your nourishment that's necessary. We're only going to be here for 1 hour max, and then we'll be on with your day. Monday cometh, but let's celebrate that we're on the Lord's day right now. Amen. Be blessed, people of God. I love you. For the choir and for the clergy, we will see you in the sanctuary at 1 o'clock. Be blessed.